Oh yeah, press my button. Oh, here, let me fuck you with
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fat Guy Loves Cake. I am Joey Valentine. It's March the 4th, 2024, 3424, and I thank you so much for being with me, for joining me on this Monday morning. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to try and sneak it in like a 20-minute podcast here to start your Monday and get you a little warmed up for the things I'm going to have coming for the rest of the week, because I told you on Friday that I'm going to talk about my complete criminal history. Because I know you were all wondering, because I said I've been to jail like a million times. Of course, that number is exaggerated, not by much, but it feels like a million times. So I thought I'd get you all started on exactly how it all began, how we got to where we are in 2024. I actually have been jail-free for quite some time, but there was a time when I spent as much time in there as I didn't. And it's funny because you're probably thinking, well, Jesus Christ, this guy's a fucking career criminal and a felon. And the funny thing is, I am not. I have zero felonies. Of all the things I'm going to talk to you about, they're all going to be more for fun and to take you on an adventure of me being in jail and meeting all kinds of incredible people and all kinds of very strange people and all kinds of very mentally ill people. And the different experiences I had in each jail that I was in, because it does matter. Where you are matters. And I want to go ahead and just like take care of this right now so you know that jail and prison, two very separate entities. There are times when jail can be similar to prison, depending on where you are, the size of the city, and the nature of your crime. But when it comes to going to jail for really stupid shit like misdemeanors, which I am the all-time leading champ, you go into jail and you are safe. And I mean, you can always get into trouble. And yes, you can get stabbed and you could get beat up. Not really stabbed. I mean, again, depends on where you are. Depends on what you do. If you were to go into Harris County, for instance, that's Houston. Harris County's jail is one of the worst in America. It has, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the guards there have to do like 2 years in a actual Department of Corrections before they can come and work in Harris County. And Harris County is a big fucking county. It's Houston, being the fourth largest city in America. It has a lot of crime. It doesn't have to do with location, doesn't have to do with race, doesn't have to do with anything except when you put a shitload of people together in one place, people commit crimes. And that's why Harris County is a terrible jail. It's always going to be full. It's always going to be overcrowded. And you got to watch your P's and Q's. And if you do, you will survive in jail. Look at this as a survival guide. You may go to jail one day. You may have never been to jail. I know people who have actually never been to jail, and I just can't believe that, because it seems to me at some point in your life, there's always a situation that arises at least once for everyone I've ever known with an opportunity to go to jail for doing something you didn't even mean to, you know? It's just so easy to get arrested. Maybe you had a few too many to drink, you got pulled over, and you got a DWI. You were over the limit. You didn't think you were, but you blew. Or, here's a good instance. I had a friend who, when we in Dallas, it gets very, very cold. Much, much colder than South Texas. It gets, you know, like ice on the roads, fucking for real snow, cold in Dallas. And we were drinking at the bar. And yeah, he drove to the bar. And yeah, he planned on driving home. But he went to his car to get into the heat. And he didn't drive it. He just got in. He started it. He left it in park. turn the heater on, and he got a DWI, which is technically the law. You are not to operate a motor vehicle when you are impaired. And I don't know if there's like a way around that. Like maybe you can get in on the passenger side and start it with the keys, and then that wouldn't be operating a motor vehicle, but I'm sure it probably is. I mean, if a cop wants to give you a DWI or if a cop wants to give you a ticket for pretty much anything, they can do it. You know, they may not get away with it in the long run, but you know, most of the time you're not going to fight. You're not going to, who has the time or the patience to fight a fucking misdemeanor? If a cop pulls me over now and he gives me a ticket for some shit that I didn't do, and it's just going to cost me a couple $100, I'll just pay it. I don't give a shit. Or I'll spend a night in jail. I don't care. Jail is just basically a big daycare for grownups, except sometimes there's like way more illegal stuff. Sometimes. And if you just treat it like high school, you always had the potential to get beat up in high school or stabbed or bullied. Everyone had groups. They had their little cliques. Well, jail's no different. Treat it exactly like high school. See, when I was in high school, I ran my mouth a lot and I had a tendency to get punched in the face a lot. So when you go to jail, you don't run your mouth. You go in, you sit down. You don't have to be quiet, but you be respectful. And that's really the key to that. But that comes later on. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot of time to talk, and I don't want to rush this, but I am going to just go ahead, and I want to welcome you to the journey that is my career criminal record from the very beginning, the first time, until present. It all started back in 1992. Yes, that seems like a very long time ago, and I guess it probably is. In 1992, I was working at a Cinnabon. I was in high school, and I was a little kid, little man-child. Well, I'm still a man-child, but I was, what's the middle ground between prepubescent and pubescent? I was mid-pubescent, and I had just discovered punk rock music. And I thought that punk rock music was the greatest thing in the world, and I still do. But I didn't know a thing about the scene. I didn't know a thing about how to act. And I was all like anarchy and fuck the police and basically like the white version of rap in the 80s. So I had a real bad attitude towards society. Plus, I grew up in the Woodlands. And if you don't know the Woodlands, I don't know what it's like now. And I don't care. It's very, very overcrowded now, but when I was growing up, it wasn't so many people that you couldn't know everyone, and it was real hoity-toity, snooty, well-to-do families. And the only reason we had moved there was because my father was working for an oil field company, and they moved us to Houston, and we got residency in the Woodlands, which is north suburb of Houston. And again, it was all money. We were only like middle class at best. And we were pretending to be much higher class than we were because my father had not quite yet come into making the money that he makes now. And we, you know, we tried to fit in and all that, but it was basically just a real breeding ground for rebellion because you had bored rich kids who never got told no. And I don't think if any of them ever had jobs, it was just a joke. It was just something to, I think their parents could act like they were actually parenting. Maybe they worked at the golf course, at the country club, fetching balls, fetching martinis for the guests and things like that. This was my third or fourth job since I was 13. I had started working when I was 13. I lied about my age. And then when I went turned 14, I went to work for McDonald's, and I was working at the Cinnabon, and it's Cinnabon. I mean, how fucking good of a job can that be? You know, I mean, you make one thing and you make it all day long, like literally. Back then, I don't know if they have like expanded their menu, but back then it was cinnamon rolls and I think soda. I mean, like literally. Cinnamon rolls. So all day long, I just make cinnamon rolls, and they were so fucking good. Oh my God, fresh out of the oven. It's hard not to eat a shitload of that when it's around you all the time. But when you're 16, your metabolism is top notch, so it was all good. I mean, I should have probably gotten diabetes, but I did not. So I was working there, and I had a manager that I didn't like. Surprise, surprise. I don't think I've ever had a job in my life where there wasn't at least one person that I wanted to bury 6 feet under. But this woman was especially insufferable, and she was a real ball buster. One of those people who just was very salty with life and sour and wanted to just make everyone else miserable rather than addressing their own misery. And so she made us all miserable because I guess her life didn't turn out the way she had hoped. Although I remember her being like 20-ish. I mean, to me back then, she seemed like she was 40, but she was probably just like not that much older than me. But she looked older, and you know, managers are always older. She just hated her fucking life. And I understand, you know, you don't want to get to a certain age and be like, this is the best I can do. I'm manager at the Cinnabon in the Woodlands Mall. And if you think working at fast food is bad, imagine working in fast food when you are in a very rich community, because people will really treat you like shit because they think that you are a piece of shit. And they truly believe that you are below them. I remember, let me deviate from the story real quick. I remember that I worked when I was first moved to Dallas, when I was trying to find any kind of work that I could. I didn't have a lot of experience other than fast food stuff. And I got a job at a place that was like Chuck E. Cheese, except not with the talking animals and all that bullshit. It was just like a go-kart place, an arcade, and some other shit. And I got a job as like the arcade technician. They gave me keys to all the arcades, and they told me just to make sure that everything worked, make sure that everything had tickets. And I was like, cool. Well, every Wednesday, we had this group. Now, Dallas, by the way, this was in North Dallas, but near the Plano area. And Plano is just as bad attitude-wise, if not worse, than the Woodlands. It is full of rich people, and they are just fucking terrible human beings. Well, on Wednesdays, JCC would come by to this place that I worked at, and they had the place all to themselves. JCC was the Jewish Community Center. I'm not going to get to talking bad about Jews, okay? I don't know if this had anything to do with them being Jewish. I know it had to do with them coming from parents that obviously didn't tell them to be polite to strangers. So here I am, and I'm working at the JC, I'm working the counter at the ticket counter, right? Because this is like the coolest fucking job in the world, right? I'm working the ticket counter where the kids can exchange tickets for prizes. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just like jamming music in my head because I was always writing songs, man. My head just never stopped writing songs. I would write songs, and kids would be talking to me, and I would just not pay attention. JCC came in there, and this little boy, I'll never forget, he comes up to me. And he's at the ticket counter, and he's, you know, looking at the stuff like I would ever. And he goes, do you go to college? I said, no, I don't go to college. And I don't want to talk to this kid because I already fucking know that he's about to insult me. I just know. I know he's going to. And I said, no, I don't go to college. And he goes, oh. He's like, but you work here to pay your bills? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, my parents pay your salary. And I was like, who the fuck are you, you little 10-year-old shit? I mean, if he had been of age, I would have stomped him into the ground. Like, if I ever heard my child talk like that, he'd be grounded for so fucking long. And I would be so embarrassed. I'd make him apologize. I'd make him write me a fucking paper. And I hate that. I think that's a stupid punishment. But I have him write me like a 5-page fucking essay front and back on why talking to people like that is not okay, until I was convinced that he believed what he wrote. Or should I not? Is it not progressive to not let my child do whatever he wants? Maybe I should let him just talk to people however he wants, because that's his personal space and I would be the bad guy in there. So that's the story to that. So back to Cinnabon, my manager was a real piece of shit bitch who just, I mean, you know, I tried. I really did. And I still, to this day, like, I get in fights with, there's a guy at work now who, like, every now and then, we will get into it to the point where I'm like, I'll never work here again. I'm done. If he works here, I'm gone. And he'll say the same thing. And he, and I'm like, you know, so there's always one. There's just people, you know, it's like a positive, negative charge. You know, there's just always some people that are going to rub you the wrong way. Haven't you ever met someone where like they just talk and you're like, just shut the fuck up. Like, I can't, like, you're aggravating me just to hear you talk. Well, she just she wasn't like that. She, but you know, I just but I knew that she was always gonna be on my ass, and I knew I knew she was my manager. And I'm supposed to do what she tells me. That's fine. I understand that. I agree with that. Should do what I'm told if to my superior. But when someone comes in there and they just make your life miserable just because they can, just because it'll make them feel better about themselves, make them think that they'll feel better about themselves, it's a miserable existence, and I wasn't going to have any of it. And so we butted heads immediately, and there were days when I was like really kiss ass, and she'd still be a bitch. I'd be just kissing ass like crazy, and she'd still be so fucking rotten to me. And anyway, I knew that job wasn't going to last too long. I was only making enough money just so I could just get around and see my girlfriend or do whatever. And I hadn't developed a drinking problem yet, so I didn't need too much money. And I ended up quitting. I don't think it wasn't any kind of like dramatic thing. I think I just called in and said, I'm done. And I went up to pick up my last paycheck. And rather than give me my paycheck, she had taken it and mailed it to the corporate office of Cinnabon for me to pick up, which was like not even in the state of Texas. And it was a real, real bitch move. You know, she knew what she was doing. There's no way. It wasn't like it wasn't like it was some sort of standard procedure. This was 1994. There was no internet. There was no direct deposit. There wasn't any of these things to where I could get my money if it was sent to another state. Getting it from another state meant either going physically to that state or having to call, the fucking Cinnabon hotline and deal with God knows how many people until one of them tracks down my little old check. I can't even imagine how much mail Cinnabon probably used to get back before the internet. You know, because people are crazy and they probably... all kinds of Cinnabon fan clubs and God knows what. I'll have to remind myself to look into that. Cinnabon fan clubs. So I get there and I say, hey, I'm just here for my last paycheck. And she explains to me, oh, I sent it to corporate. And I was like, no, you fucking didn't. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, yeah, it's the last paycheck and it's a procedure for us to mail it to corporate and you can pick it up there. I said, no, I've never heard of any such procedure where you take someone's last paycheck and make it unavailable to them on their last day of work on payday. And I said, give me my fucking check. And I started getting rowdy. You come up there, you're expecting to get paid, man. It's the law. You know, people don't get their checks. They get fucking rowdy. And I told her, I said, give me my fucking check, write one out. I don't give a fuck, you know, have them cancel the other one and you can write me one out by hand and I'll go and cash it. And she just flat out refused. And I, I kicked a fucking steel chair. There was like, you know, chairs for sitting. Yeah. Like I have to explain to you people what chairs are, but no, I mean, like, you know, you had like a patio type setting, you know, the Cinnabon was in kind of like a corner of a food court, sort of. It wasn't actually in the food court, but it was on a corner and it had its own tables and its own chairs. And these chairs were made of steel, I imagine, because they were pretty fucking heavy. And I was wearing my steel toed Doc Martens and I kicked this chair and it got fucking airbound. If I hadn't had those steel toes on, it would have broken my foot. No doubt. Chair goes airborne right in her direction. And it was like, I mean, it was just dead on. And she moves and it smashes into the mirror that is above the sink where you wash your hands, you know, because you're at work. Mirror shatters and breaks everywhere, is all over the floor. And she's like, I'm calling the cops. And I'm like, okay, I got a boogie. Now, I was there with my mom, who was downstairs at the mall. At the Disney store, they just opened the Disney store. It was huge. And I thought, okay, I don't know what kind of trouble I'm going to be in for this. So I'm just going to try and blend in the Disney store. So I go down the escalator. I go to the Disney store. I'm kind of speed walking, power walking. And I know my mom's all the way in the back. And the racks of shit were like... I don't know, man. They were like eye level. Okay. So you couldn't really see people, but I could see my mom's blonde hair all the way in the very back of the store. So I'm zigzagging and I'm making my way through there. And I just pull up next to my mom and I'm like, hey, she's like, hey, what's up? You know? And I'm like, I'm done, you know? And so I've got my back to the wall and I'm looking out towards the entrance, which has got to be, you know, like 100 yards from me. And I see little faux fucking security guard hats all start appearing in a group around the front of the Disney store. Some people's heads and faces I could see. Some people I can only see their hats because they're short people. And I can hear walkie-talkies. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, like this can't be a coincidence. So I'm just like slinking up against the wall, like, oh, okay. And all of a sudden they kind of like spread out. Now, mind you, these aren't the real police. This is the Woodlands Mall security, not to downplay being a security guard, but it's just that they took this tactical approach. Like they were going to SWAT me, like they were going after some sort of fugitive. And they spread out, and you could see their little hats zigzagging through the store coming towards me like shark fins, you know, like dun, 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 dun. And I could see all these little stupid black cop hats all slowly working their way towards me. And my mom's like, what the hell's going on? And I'm like, yeah, they're probably here for me. And so they said, well, let's come up, let's go back up to the Cinnabon. And so they called one real cop, just one real cop. And he came and he said, he took my license and he asked me what happened. And I told him, I told him just like I told you, not as long winded, but I told him exactly what happened. It came from my paycheck. She didn't give it to me. I kicked a chair. It, you know, just happened to ricochet off something. And okay, I mean, it was airborne, but I made it sound like it just kind of took a funny bounce, took a funny hop and hit that mirror. But I explained to him, and he said, okay, and then he went and talked to her, and then he came back to me, and he said, okay, well, she's not going to press charges. And I said, yeah, you know, and I, being the little asshole that I was and my big mouth, you know, I looked over at her from a pretty good distance away, and I was like, I fucking know you're not, you stupid bitch, because you took my paycheck. Now, that didn't lead to me having any other consequences, but I was like, okay, well, I was like, I guess I'll just get my check from corporate and I'll deal with it, whatever. I was like, okay, so bye, officer. And he's like, well, hold on now. He's like, we got to run your license. And I'm like, okay, fine. Well, I had forgotten that about a year before that, I was driving my friend Daniel's Bronco, and this thing was a fucking heap. It didn't have insurance. It didn't have tags. It didn't have inspection. And I got pulled over in it, and I also didn't have my license. I mean, I had my license, but I didn't have it on me. But I actually knew the number. I gave it to him immediately, and so I didn't get a ticket for that. He just told me, you need to have it on command. Yeah, okay. So he writes me up a ticket for insurance, inspection, and no tags. I go to court. They dismiss everything because I had insurance on my own car. And they dismissed the tags because I had tags on. So basically, long story short, judge says, you're going to pay for the inspection ticket. That's it. $60. I said, okay. And then I left. And then I never thought about it again because, well, I didn't even know what a warrant was. I know that probably sounds stupid, but I didn't know. I really, honest to God, did not know that if you didn't pay a traffic ticket, that you'd be subject to going to jail. I did not know that. I just thought it was like a hospital bill. They'll just keep calling you and bugging you. Well, that's not the case. So I found out. And he said, yeah, well, actually, you got a warrant out of Montgomery County. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he told me what it was. And I was like, oh, so that's a jailable thing, huh? And I remember I had just played a show the night before with my band. So I had, like, my hair was dyed blonde. Like, blonde. And I had black fingernail polish on. We just played a show down at Fitz or the Abyss or something. And so I was still, you know, like I had my fucking chains around my neck and spiked bracelets on and all this stuff and earrings. Like, my God, I had earrings then. And they took me to Montgomery County Jail, which is in Conroe, which is about 25 minutes north of the Woodlands. So it's not close. The Woodlands has its own jail now. It did not for a very long time. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd seen a lot of prison movies. I haven't seen too many prison movies. All I could think of was My Precious Butthole. And, and I got in there. And I guess these cops knew that they knew that they could fuck with me and have some fun. And they put me in holding. And holding is holding. Holding is just a big room with a long bench and a couple rolls of toilet paper and one toilet, and that's it. It's holding, and it's the longest time you'll ever do because there's nothing to do, and it's fucking freezing. And if you do have to shit, which you shouldn't have to if you have any dignity and your body complies, but if you don't have to shit, it'll go pretty smoothly. You've got phones to use. And I got in there, and whoever was putting me in there, he said, oh, they're going to like you just fine with that fingernail polish. And I freaked out. Like, I started having, like, my first panic attack ever. And I got in there, and I had my hands like made like fists so that I was hiding my black fingernail polish. And I went and I sat far away from everyone. And on the lip of the stainless steel bench, I took my fingernails and I was scraping them on it until I could get the fingernail polish off. I got most of it off. It was pretty painful because I was really trying to get it off. And I, honest to God, in my mind had it. And I believed that having that fingernail polish on was going to get me cornholed in jail. And mind you, when you're in holding, like, they can see everything. Okay. You're not actually in a cell yet. Holding has giant fucking windows. Okay. And then there's a big, huge desk command center that's right outside. So you can't do shit because they don't know what you're going to do. They need to see you the whole time before they process you. They don't know what you're there for because they have to do paperwork. They have to sign you in. They have to check you in, whatever, book you and all that. So the people in the command center, they don't know what you're there for. Like, they may know what your charge is, but they don't know your history. They don't know if you're fucking crazy. They don't know anything. So they have a command center where everyone in holding can be seen. And if something does happen, they can get to you extremely fast. I've never, ever once, ever seen anything happen in holding other than just some people talking shit and some people taking shits. It's a very humbling experience to watch a grown man take a deuce and for some reason feel the need to have a conversation with you at the same time. I wouldn't recommend it. So this was all over $60, and I had my mom pay it and get me out, which I could have just stayed until midnight, but I was like, I called her and I was like, you gotta get me out. And she was like, I paid it already. And I didn't know at the time, but even when you get paid, it's not like you walk up there and they go, oh, Joey, I'm here for Joey. Yeah. What is he? Oh, $100. Okay. Here it is. All right. May I have him? Thank you. No, it's not like that at all. It's a very painfully fucking slow process. I don't think there's anything in the world slower except maybe the Department of Motor Vehicles. They're kind of giving them a run for their money. But when someone pays to have you out, it's going to be like 8 hours at least until you finally do get out. They got to get everything's a fucking day behind with the jails, just like court, you know, like court. If they just stayed on time from the very beginning, they pay for you to get out, pay your bail, pay your bond, whatever, depending on what it is. And then they start doing paperwork, filling out paperwork, figuring out what's going to happen when your court date is. If you've seen the judge, everything has to be, you know, it's a very meticulous process. And I understand why. So I'm not completely frowning upon it. They take note of everything, and they should. Everything needs to be on file. You shouldn't just be able to go to jail and pay $5 and then just walk the fuck back out. You should have to tell the state, you know, they take pictures of your tattoos, they fingerprint you, if you are a felon, they will take your blood. So just so you know, if you've ever been fingerprinted by anyone ever in your life, you are in the database, the American database. So don't plan on becoming a serial killer unless you're going to be good at keeping your fingerprints hidden. And a little word of advice there. I'm just full of help today. Actually, here's a word of advice. Don't become a serial killer. It's a really fucked up thing to do. So I eventually got out and I learned my lesson. And no, I fucking didn't. I went to jail a lot more times in the coming years. It did not take long for me to start really racking them up. And then it got to be kind of like a thing, like funny to me. So that's the first part of my criminal history. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm at the half hour mark and I've got to go. And I hope you guys will join me on Wednesday. Hello to anyone that's joining me from the YouTube channel. I hope you guys got here via the YouTube channel. A definite spike in the listenership, so there's got to be people coming over. And we'll see you on Wednesday for part 2, which was probably going to stretch into part fucking 7 or 8 by the time we're done. but I think it's pretty interesting stuff, and I wouldn't go anywhere. All right, so hug your children, kiss your kitty cats, and please be nice. I will see you guys on Wednesday. Everybody take care.
Oh, here, let me fuck your face again then. Don't be. Oh, right there. Oh, right there. Oh.